You are listening to Spirit World Restless with DJ Judy on Spirit Plans Radio, broadcasting round the world at spiritplantsradio.com. Turn on, tune in, and visit us on the web at spiritplantsradio.com for schedules, playlists, archives, and more.
Thank you. The Woman at the Top of the Hill by Steve Weaver. Like a line from Baudelaire, I sank into the fiction of her eyes, blue as the sky itself. She was actually speaking to me across the street from the Art Museum, 1984. Yet this was not dystopian in any way. She wanted to know if I was heading down the hill to hear a band that sounded like the Dead. Her caterpillar lashes had a life of their own, and it was hard for me to speak this unprepared. A tap on the shoulder as I peered into the dell. I'd never been so disarmed. Had my head turned all the way around like an owl doesn't know when to stop. And her smile, like the afternoon sun, big and bold and August hot. And without caring if I liked the music or not, I said, yeah, I'm going down to hear them. You? I had a strong sense that was the right answer. And as stories go, this one ended 4 years later, rather amicably, more civilized than one can count on. The sun had simply set.
Thank you. Chechnya, my sweet Chechnya, honey, California, really want you. Look ahead, Joni, where's Caledonia? My Joni, be mine.
way, and everybody starts to move as soon as Pata Pata starts to play.
Last thing before we go tonight is a new appreciation of Carl Sagan that so many people find way overdue. Armed with 4 degrees from the University of Chicago, try that in your spare time, Sagan was an astronomer, scientist, astrophysicist, a genuine public intellectual. He taught at Harvard and Cornell and was ahead of his time almost by definition. Jason Johnson called our attention to this clip on social media today. Here is Carl Sagan on Johnny Carson, calling out a new movie called Star Wars for its faulty assumptions and lack of diversity.
Star Wars starts out saying it's on some other galaxy.
Right.
And then you see there's people. And starting in scene one, there's a problem because human beings are the result of a unique evolutionary sequence based upon so many individually unlikely random events on the Earth. In fact, I think most evolutionary biologists would agree that if you started the Earth out again and just let those random factors operate, you might wind up with beings that are as smart as us and as ethical and artistic and all the rest, but they would not be human beings. That's for the Earth. So another planet, different environment, very unlikely to have a human being.
Are you saying on another galaxy, it's not possible that there could be...
It's extremely unlikely that there would be creatures as similar to us as the dominant ones in Star Wars. And there's a whole bunch of other things. They're all white. The skin of all the humans in Star Wars, oddly enough, is sort of like this.
Right.
And not even the other colors represented on the Earth are present, much less greens and blues and purples and oranges.
They did have a scene in Star Wars with a lot of strange characters.
Yeah, but none of them seem to be in charge of the galaxy. Everybody in charge of the galaxy seemed to look like us. And I thought there was a large amount of human chauvinism. And also, I felt very bad that at the end, the Wookiee didn't get a medal also. You know, all the people got medals, and the Wookiee who had been in there fighting all the time, he didn't get any medal. And I thought that was an example of anti-Wookiee discrimination.
How about that, Carl Sagan, advocate for Wookiees everywhere? As the noted astrophysicist Ron Popeil would say, but wait, there's more. Carl Sagan could not have predicted 2021, but he did see it coming. He wrote the following back in 1995, and we quote, I have a foreboding of an America in my children's or grandchildren's time when the United States is a service and information economy, when nearly all the manufacturing industries have slipped away to other countries, when awesome technological powers are in the hands of a very few, and no one representing the public interest can even grasp the issues, when the people have lost the ability to set their own agendas or knowledgeably question those in authority, when, clutching our crystals and nervously consulting our horoscopes, our critical faculties in decline, unable to distinguish between what feels good and what's true, we slide almost without noticing back into superstition and darkness. The dumbing down of America is most evident in the slow decay of substantive content in the enormously influential media. The 30-second soundbites now down to 10 seconds or less. Lowest common denominator programming. Credulous presentations on pseudoscience and superstition. But especially a kind of celebration of ignorance. Roll that around for a while. Those were among his final published words. He died 10 months later. Here we are 25 years later realizing just what he was trying to tell us back then.
You are listening to Spirit World Restless with DJ Judy on Spirit Plans Radio, broadcasting round the world at spiritplantsradio.com. Turn on, tune in, and visit us on the web at spiritplantsradio.com for schedules, playlists, archives, and more.
For my poet friend, I tried to record one of your poems, to hear you through me, to occupy your voice. I wandered through your work, this title, then that, but each time I felt the gap between us. You writing from such depths of you-ness, who was I to presume? You scraping words from experience, suffering each offering, how could I presume? Only sit back, marveling at knowing you, offering awe in silent homage.
Ladies and gentlemen, turn around arts, people all over the world, brothers, sisters, round the planet, let's go, let's go, let's go, come on now.
All over the world, living out in California. Got up middle of the night and went out to get some milk. So went to a supermarket in California. What thoughts I have of you tonight, Walt Whitman, for I walked down the side streets under the trees with a headache, self-conscious, looking at the full moon. In my hungry fatigue and shopping for images, I went into the neon fruit supermarket, dreaming of your enumerations. What peaches and what penumbras, whole families shopping at night, aisles full of husbands, wives in the avocados, babies in the tomatoes, and you, Garcia Lorca, what were you doing down by the watermelons? I saw you, Walt Whitman, childless, lonely old grubber, poking among the meats in the refrigerator and eyeing the grocery boys. I heard you asking questions of each. Who killed the pork chops? What price bananas from Honduras? Are you my angel? I wandered in and out of the brilliant stacks of cans following you, and followed in my imagination by the store detective. We strode down the open corridors together, possessing every frozen delicacy in our solitary fancy tasting artichokes, and never passing the cashier. Where are we going, Walt Whitman? The doors close in an hour. Which way does your beard point tonight? I touch your book and dream of our odyssey in the supermarket and feel absurd. Will we walk all night through solitary streets? The trees add shade to shade. Lights out in the houses. We'll both be lonely. Will we stroll dreaming of the lost America of love, past blue automobiles and driveways, home to our silent cottage? Ah, dear father, graybeard, lonely old courage teacher, what America did you have when Sharon quit polling his ferry and you got out on a smoking bank and stood watching the boat disappear on the black waters of Lethe?
This is an older poem. It was in a book called Questions About Angels that the great Ed Hirsch chose for the National Poetry Series and set me reeling into some kind of poetry life. It's called Forgetfulness, and it's just a meditation on forgetting, and it begins by talking about how we forget the things we read. Forgetfulness. The name of the author is the first to go, followed obediently by the title, the plot, the heartbreaking conclusion, the entire novel, which suddenly becomes one you have never read, never even heard of. It is as if, one by one, the memories you used to harbor decided to retire to the southern hemisphere of the brain, to a little fishing village where there are no phones. Long ago, you kissed the names of the nine muses goodbye, and you watched the quadratic equation pack its bag. And even now, as you memorize the order of the planets, something else is slipping away, a state flower, perhaps, the address of an uncle, the capital of Paraguay. Whatever it is you are struggling to remember, it is not poised on the tip of your tongue, not even lurking in some obscure corner of your spleen. It has floated away down a dark mythological river whose name begins with an L. As far as you can recall. Well, on your own way to oblivion, where you will join those who have forgotten even how to swim and how to ride a bicycle. No wonder you rise in the middle of the night to look up the date of a famous battle in a book on war. No wonder the moon in the window seems to have drifted out of a love poem that you used to know by heart.
Making each day of the year, changing my life with one wave of his hand. Nobody can deny that there's something there. Running my both of us thinking how good it can be. Someone is speaking, but he doesn't know she's there. I want him everywhere, and if he's beside me, I know I need never care. But to love him is to meet him knowing that love is to share, each one believing that love never dies, watching his eyes and hoping I'm always there to be there. And
to take a look. I'm delighted that Janis Joplin is back. I would like to read you a few lines from Newsweek magazine. Wait a minute. Oh, right here in my untidy desk. You remember, there's a terrific picture of Janis. Maybe she doesn't think so. I should have cleared it away. This is on Newsweek's cover some weeks back. And Janis is... there's an article called Rebirth of the Blues. And in it, someone said, at the first and now historic 1967 Monterey International Pop Festival, a volatile vial of nitroglycerin named Janis Joplin blew the rock world wide open. Singing with a tortured passion that has become her trademark, she unleashed Big Mama Thornton's classic Ball and Chain. And since then, this 26-year-old white girl from Port Arthur, Texas, has gone on to be the first female superstar of rock music. And she is. Will you welcome Janis Joplin? Yeah.
There's a light, certain kind of light, honey, but it never ever, no, it never shone on me, no, no. Oh, baby, and I want my whole life to be, live with you, babe, so what I want, oh, I want to be living, loving you. There's a way, whoa, everybody say, you can do anything, you can do every little thing, and I think I can, yeah, but what good, honey, what good can it ever bring? In my brain, oh, I can see your face again, honey, I know, I said I feel I got to know my own frame of mind, yeah, but what good, honey, what good, what ugly good can it ever bring?
For a little bit of romance.
She would never say where she came from. And yesterday don't matter if it's gone. While the sun is bright, no one knows. She comes and goes.
Goodbye, red Tuesday. Broken hand ain't my new. When you change with every new day, do I'm gonna
such a cost. Your dreams with hope can slip away. I'm dying all the time. Lose your dreams and you lose your mind. In life on kind.
Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed this hour.
Hello. I would really like to read some poetry that I've written this past while, and I hope that you enjoy it. This is called Equinox 2022. Equal parts day and night, equal parts light and dark, equal parts excitement and apathy, equal parts intelligence and idiocy, equal parts compassion and dismissal, equal parts love and hate, equal parts yin and yang, equal parts up and down, equal parts in and out. How equal is this world? How balanced? How calculated to stay in sync? What would it take to offset the scales? One more being with hatred and greed? One more being with generosity and kindness? How equal is this world within the world of galaxies and space? On this particular day of equinox, am I more grounded or more spacey? Am I construed of both, flowing in a permacycle of yin and yang? As above, so below. That which is right is also left. Day of birth, day of funerals. An esteemed rabbi is being laid to rest in the center of the country. And for him, streets in the city of Tel Aviv have been roped off to traffic. Schools are closed. Universities are learning by Zoom. The country waits for the funeral to end before going back to cursing traffic and guzzling take-out coffee. On our kibbutz, Naomi, long fading from Parkinson's and complications, will be laid to rest at 3 p.m. The family will sit Shiva outside in the tent erected for the many visitors to pay their condolences and eat the cake and fruit provided. Coming together, saying goodbye, bowing the head in farewell, and hugging in welcoming a friend not seen since the beginning of COVID. This too will pass. Tomorrow will bring more daylight. The jackals will shift their hunting schedules to sync with the sun. Equality? There must be something at play. The world is still rotating. And now I'd like to offer some haiku. Path through sand dunes, veil of gray dusk, all senses alert. Dream whispered truths infiltrate the body. Acceptance by morn. Closer to summer, all in the mind, each butterfly day. Memories recede, scented homemade soap, glow of late sunsets. Typing inadequate, thoughts long to flow in abstract rivers of colors. Echoes of Ravel, slow melody infectious, flute's magnetic pull. Towards acceptance, step after step, till nothing's the same. Oh, Mother Earth, more seeds, less destruction. May planters find strength. Each step a test. Attention, care, respect. This body, this mind. It's temporary, whatever this is, as long as I breathe. 2 weeks till spring. Pencil this in. Meet you with blossoms. After dream, awake. Luxury of one more minute. How sweet the morning. Pathless. Before each step, discovery. After each step, gratitude. before I see epiphany, having seen humility. I wait, weightless. I sing, voiceless. I'm free to slip away.